Hello, this is SharePoint Framework Developer Preview Tutorial 1 Hello World Web Part. This is one of those tutorials which were released as part of the SharePoint Framework Developer Preview in August 2016. All of these tutorials are available within a written format, or you can watch the videos and follow the steps one by one. Let's actually get started on the tutorial. So in this case, it's the tutorial one where we start actually building the first SharePoint Framework client-side web part. So we're going to start by creating first a folder. And in our case, we're going to create the Hello World web part folder. In my particular case, I'm using a Windows machine. So I'm using the commander for actually for the commands for Node.js and npm. In your case, you might be using a Linux or a Mac or an Apple machine. And it's then there are different alternatives for the tooling. We're going to use the commander within this videos since I'm using the Windows machine. I've already installed the Yeoman template and run through all of the pre-requirements for the tutorial. So in my case, I can actually start by creating that first web part by running yo at Microsoft/SharePoint. And this will then start the Yeoman template generator, which will essentially create the project for me, which I can then start expanding and modifying based on my requirements. In this case, we're going to use the default solution name, which is the Hello World web part. So we're going to press enter on that. We're going to use also the current folder. So we're not going to move anywhere else. What's the web part name? Let's use the Hello World for that one as well. And we can use the default description as well. The follow-up question is then what kind of framework you would like to use. Right now we have a Node JavaScript web framework is one of the options, and this means that by default when the Yeoman template actually creates the project, it doesn't actually associate any additional JavaScript web frameworks to it. You can absolutely still attach, for example, React or Knockout or Angular or whatever you want to use to your project if needed. If you want, you can pre-create or create a template or a solution which has a React natively into it, attached into it, or a Knockout. We're looking into extending the Yeoman template templates so that there might be additional frameworks available as we move along during the SharePoint Framework Developer Preview. In this case, I'm going to choose the Node JavaScript Web Framework, which means that there won't be any additional things added to the solution. And clicking enter, and that will start then the scaffolding of our solution. What it means is that the template, the Yeoman template created for the SharePoint client-side web part will create me the solution structure. It will create me the initial files. It will create the folder structure and all of that. So I can start playing and doing actual development within my client-side web part. And this will take a while, depending on a machine, depending on a multiple different aspects. So are you using a Windows or a Mac machine or a Linux machine? So we're going to pause the video at this point until the scaffolding of the solution is fully completed. Here we go. Now the actual solution has been created for us using the Yeoman template, which is available for everybody to use. The following step is to start actually the development. And for this, there's multiple different options. So you can use Visual Studio Code, Sublime, Atom, WebStorm, or even Visual Studio, the classic Visual Studio IDE for the development. In this particular case, we're going to use Visual Studio Code, which is a lightweight code editor targeted for web stack development. So let's actually start that one. I've already installed that to my machine. So I'm going to run code and a period, and that's going to actually start the Visual Studio Code to be available within within the screen. Here we go. Now we have our Visual Studio solution available. It's already created, and we can, for example, see the individual web part, the Hello World web part created within the Visual Studio Code. So let's actually slightly zoom that so you can more easily see what's available. Before we actually going to deep dive on the structure, so what's available, what are the configurations and all of that, let's actually have a look on what did we got using the gulp serve command. So let's move back on the command line. and switch back on the on here, and we want to actually see how this web part works in practice immediately without any modifications immediately when it's coming out from the scaffold, when it has been scaffolded. So let's run a gulp serve. Gulp is a task manager, serve is a command for the task manager, and that's going to then run through a series of commands. It's going to, in quotes, compile the code, the TypeScript code to a JavaScript, and then it's going to start a browser, and then it's going to actually execute our web part within the context of our local workbench. So the local workbench is part of the project which was created for us. We can see that it's a local, that's my machine, and it's running the workbench HTML. So I'm actually running in a kind of an offline mode from my local machine, which is a great thing because I can actually do some level of, actually quite a lot of development and designing of my web part without the need of moving to the SharePoint. Then whenever I'm actually talking to a SharePoint, at that point, to a SharePoint lists as an example, I would move into a SharePoint workbench which is actually hosted within a SharePoint online. Let's have a look on the web part which was created for us. So if I hover here and click the plus and click Hello World, I can see the default web part rendered available. And I can also configure that web part using the new editor pane, which is a completely different and redesigned from a, let's say, the classic web part experience, which is a really big enhancement because this way you as a web part developer, you can fully control what kind of functionalities and configurations will be visible for the end user. You can also control the behavior of these editor controls within the editor pane. So in this case, we are in a reactive mode. Nothing against this doesn't refer to React JavaScript library. It refers actually how the property changes are being treated. So now if I write here something like SharePoint framework is cool, we can actually see the modification directly also within the web part. And that means that the property pane is actually in a reactive mode. You can control that within your web part settings and within your web part code based on your, let's say, business requirements. It doesn't always make sense that your web part controls are being automatically changed or updated directly within the code. So you can control that, and the alternative way is that you enable an apply button here. So it's in a non-reactive mode where you do modifications and then you click a button, and that will then reflect the property changes directly to the web part. Good. Let's leave the all of this actually running and move back on the Visual Studio Code side. And let's have a look on quickly on the structure, what we have available within our web part side. So first of all, underneath the source and web parts, that's where the Hello World web part is by default added. You can add multiple web parts to a single solution, and that's probably a relatively typical case within the actual development. So you would see those additional web parts underneath the web parts folder. This is a folder structure which is reflected directly from the file system. So you can actually open up this in a file explorer and see all of the folders there as well. And that's also the typical experience in Visual Studio Code. In this case, I've opened up the Hello World web part TS file, which is a TypeScript file which actually defines the Hello World web part. And there's a few things to kind of notice here. We do have a constructor. Where we actually, that's the construction of the web part. We have the actual web part implementation here, which is the default export from this file, and it extends the basic base client-side web part. So I can quickly, if I want, I can go to a definition and have a look on the basic base client-side web part and the base definitions and properties available for me to use. So this way you can further have a look on the code and what are the options and all of that. There's a lot of actually documents within this documentation within this method, so you're able to figure out additional things and options for your web part. So click close that one, move back on our file, So let's actually close the node mode and open up the Hello World web part again. The key point here, there are a few things to notice. We have the Hello World web part props, and this is actually defining the individual properties, what we have within the web part. So in my case, I only have a description, which is visible because we haven't actually modified the default template. And that's then added as a parameter, or we're getting those property interfaces available within the web part itself. The main, rendering capability is happening obviously on the render method. And in the render method, we're running or setting the this.dom_element.innerHTML based on whatever we actually want. And this is a relatively flexible thing. So what we mean with that one is that you can easily start using React or any other framework just by updating the inner HTML based on that, for example, that React component. The other thing to notice here is that we are rendering the description property dynamically as part of the output of the page. Not necessarily the optimal thing that we have all of the HTML directly in here, and it's not built using any JavaScript components or modules, but it's obviously up to you how do you want to implement your client-side experience. If we scroll slightly down, we can see the property pane settings, and this is a this is a super important thing as well. This is defining us what kind of properties do we have for the web parts, and which of those are editable, and what it actually is referring to. So in this case, we have first of all the property pane description, property pane group, and all of those settings, which are essentially labels shown within the property pane. And then we have the description property included in the property pane. So let's actually slightly extend this one, so we're able to see those additional controls which are available for you when you start designing your client-side web part for SharePoint Framework. And what I'm going to do is quickly save some time. So I'm not going to write all of this stuff. I'm going to just copy the stuff from the tutorial guidance so we are able to easily update this property pane setting method. And let's have a look on the new property pane setting. So I'm going to quickly format the page slightly. There we go. We can see that we will have a description property, we will have a test property, test one property, test two property, and test three property. For description, we're going to use the text field. For the test, we're going to use text field as well, but it's in the multi-line mode. And then for the test one, it's going to be a checkbox. For the test two, it's going to be a drop down. And then for the test three, it's going to be a toggle control. As you can see, this is showing actually nicely one of the benefits of using the TypeScript. So right now in the TypeScript editor, it is actually telling us that, hey, I can't find the property pane checkbox. So we're missing something, which is absolutely true. We haven't actually introduced these types to be available within our project. So let's actually do that. These are controls which are available from the SP client preview package. So let's actually add those needed properties, property controls available. So it's property pane. We wanted to add property pane checkbox. There we go. There's our property pane checkbox. We wanted to add property pane drop down. Let's make that write that properly there. And property pane toggle for the final control. Good. Now we have all of our individual types available, but we actually had some additional properties. So we have a test property, test one property, test and test three property, which we want actually to be editable for the end users. So let's go to our iHelloWorld web part props.ts and define those to our property interface. So let's actually add here the test property, and this one was string. We're gonna add here test one property. This one was boolean, and we're gonna add here test two property, which was string, and we're gonna add here test three property, which is boolean. So we have those additional properties now available or defined within our interface. And this means then that we're able to actually use these properties also within our implementation. So let's actually copy that one line from there. And let's update that we want to show, for example, the test2 property in the UI as well. One thing to also notice is that we're able to define default values for these properties as well. And by default, the default value properties are defined in our manifest.json file, which relates on that particular web part. So it's in a web part folder in our solution. And this is essentially a web part definition or manifest file, which is defining, for example, the title, which is visible for end user, the description, which we entered as part of the scaffolding. And in here, we have also defined the default property for description, which in this case is a hello world. So let's add here add a few additional properties for those default to define the default values for those new additional properties as well. So I'm going to quickly first write these additional properties available, and let's add some text to that multi-text field as well. So the default value for test one is true, and test two, that was a text value. So we're able to define, or that was actually a dropdown. So we're gonna select the value two within the dropdown, and then test three as well. And that was a Boolean value, so let's set that one as true. Let's actually add their multi-text text field. So we're able to see that default value to be rendered. Now, right now we did not actually shut down yet our Calp serve. So yes, there would be default changes within the UI. So if we actually switch to our browser UI, we're able to see that there's actually undefined value already available. So if I go to my edit web part pane, I'm able to see those additional property values available. The reason why this is undefined, even though we actually provided the default properties for those properties, is that we didn't recompile. We didn't, well, recompile in the sense of Calp tasks. Easiest way to do that is really just a shutdown the Calp serve task, and let's restart the Calp serve, and that's going to recompile the web part properties and all of that to be available. So if we now go back on the local workbench, or we add that default web part available on the page, we can see that the default values are available. If you're wondering that, well, how does my changes reflect from the UI? Now, for now, we've been using just the local workbench. But let's actually host this web part also in the SharePoint Online Workbench. So let's move on to our developer site. And this is a tenant which was previously created based on the guidance within the tutorials. And in my documents folder, I already have a workbench.asbx. So that has been copied there based on the guidance with the tutorials. And I'm going to click the workbench. And that's going to actually start rendering the workbench, the SharePoint Online workbench, but it actually is giving us an exception. It is giving us an exception because it can't load HTTP scripts because the unsafe scripts is not allowed. And this is because I'm hosting my local experience using the local Node.js server. You might think of that as let's say IIS Express, which is more typical for the Visual Studio developers, or whatever local tool you want to use. The way I can get that to work properly in Chrome, this works in a way that you go here on this one, this fellow here, and you click that one, and you say load unsafe scripts, and this will allow then both HTTPS and HTTP scripts to be executed. And that means that our web part is available within the SharePoint Online context, and there's our Hello World web part. And if I click that one, we can say the Hello World web part. It has the default values whenever that's installed to the page. If we do edit, edit web part, we're able to see those changes to be reflected. So adding SharePoint or modifying the description is getting reflected on the UI. And if with this multi-line text field, there's our checkbox, there's our dropdown, we're able to see that the default or the property value within the UI is changing from a 1 to 2 to 3. And then we have a toggle value, which doesn't actually reflect in the UI, but we added that control within the rendering as well. But that's it. Now we actually added, we tested the local workbench, which is here, running from a local webbox, and then we moved into the SharePoint Online. We are actually serving this JavaScript and the client-side web part from our local development box. So it's referring to the local development box and loading that the browser is loading that JavaScript from our local box, but we get in the context of SharePoint. And that's really important because when we execute or do development of the web part in the context of SharePoint, we can start manipulating or reading lists or whatever data within the SharePoint context. So you can do the initial development in the local workbench, and then whenever you need to actually get access on a SharePoint data, you can move into the SharePoint Online workbench and then start doing development there. But that pretty much closes our tutorial one, and we'll move into tutorial two after this video. So feel free to follow up these tutorials one by one if you're interested, or you can continue doing whatever you were doing before this video. So thank you for watching, and hopefully this is useful.